There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
the money. Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
We are up and ready to go on a Friday edition of Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni and the Super Bowl champ, former NFL quarterback Sean King on the desk in for Mitch and Pauly. We have a fun show ahead, Sean, as we have all week. This has been great. Daytona 500 coming up. So at around 8:30 Eastern, Danielle Trotta of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio will join us. We'll get into some NBA with athletic writer Seth Partnow in Hour 3. Also in Hour 3, college hoops. Down goes Purdue yet again. Again, unranked Maryland handled business. Get his opinion on backing Matt Painter when it counts. And near the end of the show, a little bit later, NHL, Puckstradamus' favorite guest of the day for sure, EJ Radek, will join us. As always, I'm going to have to, like every guest that we have this week, I just have to get the opinion on the Bruins. And you're going to have to get your opinion on the Lightning. And we're just going to see what happens. The trade deadline is coming up March 3rd, okay? So we're going to see who's buying and who's selling. But the big news that I want to start off with today, and it's dominating all of the headlines, is Tiger Woods and his three birdies to close out round one at the Genesis yesterday. Finishes the day 2 under par, Sean, and sitting in a position that I don't think anybody really thought he would be his first day out there.
Well, I fully expected him to actually play well yesterday and today. I did not bet Tiger Stormy because I didn't think his endurance would hold up Saturday and Sunday. But obviously, I think the groups that teed off later, the conditions must have been a little tougher because it was a group with him, Rory, and Justin Thomas, and they all kind of were hacking it around for the most part. So the 2 under was actually pretty good. As you mentioned, he finished strong. It wasn't pretty golf in the group, but, you know, they kind of grinded through it. And only 5 off the lead. Max Homa, who I did put a future in, ticket in on 20-1. He sits atop at -7, but I'm proud of Tiger. I did not think he entered the Genesis to win. I think he's going to slowly get himself in shape. So they come Masters, he has the endurance to go out and do his best for 4 full days. So I think that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, these first couple days would certainly be the best opportunity for him to have success before, whether it's the plantar fasciitis or whatever it is that he's dealing with, because he'd largely, when he's been playing courses, been able to play on a cart. You know, the last time that he was in a big event like this was in 2020 when he missed the cut at the British Open. So, you know, the types of things that he's going to have to do are tough, but
he did have a noticeable limp throughout the round yesterday. So obviously something is not necessarily bothering him, but something's definitely uncomfortable. So it's interesting that he hasn't found cushioning in a shoe that at least alleviates that uncomfortability. I mean, because I'm sure he's trying.
Have you ever had plantar fasciitis?
I have, and it feels terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's like people are sticking needles in your feet.
Yeah, like it's a... My producer on my other show, Stephanie Kamerschak, she said that to get rid of her, she like used a butter knife to essentially just scrape the bottom of her foot until it would...
It sounds a lot easier than I think it is to do, actually. Probably easier if somebody else does it.
No, that's fair. But it was one of those things, though, where yesterday on the back nine, when he got through, I want to say it was 12, he had a few bogeys in a row, and you're like, okay, maybe he's already feeling it. And then he was able to turn it on at the end, and it was really special. And it's another one of those things that just gets casual viewers involved with golf, which I think is great. And it's one of those things where, like, the fact that he's playing in general right now is incredible. It's 2 years ago after this event that he gets in that car accident where you're just wondering, like, is he going to be able to get out of this and live?
Right.
Then is he going to be able to walk? Then is he going to be able to even swing a golf club, period? And the fact that he's out here at a PGA Tour event, that's what I like, is I like the story. Our producer, Dustin, coming in hot this morning. Very, very anti just the obsession around Tiger Woods at this stage in his career where he's 47 years old and people are coming out here saying, because he says at his press conference he still feels that he can win, that everybody's like goo-goo gaga over Tiger still.
Well, I think the reality is that the PGA still needs Tiger. People were interested in the waste management that went to the waste management, but not many people flicked their TV on Thursday to watch it or Friday to watch it. No one would be watching the Genesis if Tiger wasn't in it.
Yeah.
So, like, the PGA needs that because I know some people may get exhausted with all the Tiger coverage, but it also creates exposure for others. Justin Thomas. There's no way Justin Thomas is in the feature group and people are watching if Tiger isn't there. So, I mean, it's good for the other guys. Tiger's earned the right to play. A lot of the prize purses, you know, a lot of the, you know, off the field opportunity, off the course opportunities they have are a direct result of Tiger's prominence, you know, when he was at his best. So I like when he plays. It creates interest that otherwise wouldn't be there.
But is that a problem with golf, that all eyes are really only on these events if he's in it, that he's, like, bigger than the game in that way, that it's great that it draws eyeballs at the time, but what about when he is officially done?
Well, I think the reason that it still, you know, is in that space, he's the last golfer that was truly dominant. I mean, now the top 20, the top 30 are as good as they've ever been, Stormy. But because of that parity, no one really dominates. One week is Rahm, the next week is Scheffler, next week is Scheffler, then it's Rory. And it kind of just bounces around and pings, so they haven't been able to create a true superstar. The last true superstar in golf was Tiger Woods. The only true superstar in golf still is Tiger Woods. So I think he's good for the game.
Max Homa, you, as you mentioned, alongside Keith Mitchell, your leaders in the clubhouse right now at 7 under, world number 3, John Rahm posting his 7th round of 65 or better, sitting in 3rd at 6 under, and he is the favorite 3-1 to go on and win this thing right now. Here's Tiger, though, on his first round back on the PGA Tour.
I was able to simulate nerves at home because I've come off layoffs before, and I was able to simulate that stuff, but there's nothing like come game time. Just the feeling of the butterflies and trying to calm all that stuff down, the adrenaline, the ball goes further. Even though it's cold out here, it was going even further than we expected. I had to dial all that back in. Joey hadn't seen me hit a golf ball in a while, and so obviously his feels are, we're trying to get, you know, the feels for out there and the shots and the distances, and we adapted very quickly.
Makes me feel better about getting nervous that I'm not alone.
Now,
even Tiger Woods can get
nervous.
I've
been able to do a lot of things in my life to simulate nerves. Like, does he have a machine? I mean, is Tiger, what is he talking about right there? I simulated nerves at home. I don't know if I agree with that one, Tiger, but hey, I'm glad to have you back, big dog.
Yeah, good start.
What do you make the house real cold and then see if you can putt or something? Like, how do you simulate nerves? Can you purchase this? Like, does Target sell this as a 3-pack? Like, where is this coming from?
Also, yesterday we had the introductory press conference in Arizona for new head coach Jonathan Gannon as he moves on from the Eagles defensive coordinator role. Kyler Murray was there. Lots of questions to Gannon naturally surrounding Kyler Murray and finding an offensive coordinator for him to put him in a position for success. Take a listen to this as well.
We're starting to look at some different candidates and looking at interviewing some people here in the next 48 hours. But I have a very specific vision of how I want to play on offense. And the person that comes in here to run the offense is going to understand that everything that we do will be structured around the quarterback position to maximize his skill set. And we have an elite one. We also have some elite players at different positions already on the roster that I'm very excited to work with. That's what we're going to do. Just as an overall general philosophy of being adaptable, we're going to maximize Kyler's skill set. We're going to be adaptable. We're going to generate explosives. We're going to protect the football and be situationally smart. And we know that when you hear me talk about explosives and takeaways, we know those are winning stats. And that's all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. That's what we will preach, and that's what we're going to practice, and that's what the players will be educated on, and that's how we're going to play. So if you do those things, you'll be in the playoffs.
Not sure I agree with calling Kyler Murray elite, but a lot of the thought process around it, I understand. How big of a task truly is it, Sean, to get Kyler Murray back on track?
Well, the skill set is elite. The arm talent, the athleticism, both rate, you know, pretty highly when you compare it to others in the league. It's the maturity that has been the issue. So, he's got some time to self-reflect. We'll see. Very interesting choice of attire for Jonathan Gannon. Did he have, like, a brunch he was headed to after this? Like, normally,
you just like judging these press conferences.
Well, normally, you know, when you become it's only 32 of these, you know, jobs in the world, right? Now, I've mentioned that multiple times this week.
No.
You would think maybe put a tie on Coach Gannon, please. I mean, unless he had a brunch that he had to get to right after this, you know, and he wanted to dress, you know, for the occasion. Like, he kind of was, I mean, sport coat, unbuttoned.
Okay, Sean, aside from Jonathan Gannon's attire, what other immediate changes do you think will be important for him in Arizona?
He's also got to go to Bosley because that hairpiece at the top is thinning. He's young enough to get it. I mean, hey, Nick Wright did it, right, from Fox. I mean, he all of a sudden came back with a full head. So, I mean, it's possible. He sounds confident. He sounds like he has a plan. It'll be interesting. What does his network allow him to hire? Because generally when a guy gets a head job for the first time, he goes back within his network. Where has he coached? Who has he coached with? Of those men, who's available? Or does he have a mentor that's going to kind of guide him? So it'll be interesting to see who he hires for these positions. I don't think Arizona's a bad job. I think it's a tricky job. But I also think that if Kyler Murray comes back maturer from this injury than he was prior to the injury, then you have a chance to be successful.
We will have to wait and see, but we'll continue this conversation at other times throughout the course of the show. Remember, everybody, though, as football season does come to an end, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be for hoops and hockey. Bet Rivers has you covered for every line, odd, and boost. You can join them each week for new promotions like the Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Saturday Hockey Same Game Parlay Bet and Get, Weekly Pro Hoops Bet and Get, and more. You can check out BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app. It's a whole new game. We got Win Some, Lose Some coming up here next. Don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money rolling along on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Wow, winning. Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, everybody. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for the guys today. Let's get into some of the plus money tickets that cashed last night. UTSA, a 5-1 ticket coming in. They were an 11.5-point dog in this one. End up beating Rice by 5, 84-79. North Florida cashes at plus 260, beating Lipscomb 114-111. Kennesaw State beat Liberty 88-81. Plus 210. Lots of tickets cashing in college hoops last night, Sean.
Yeah, the dogs were barking, man. The Roadrunners, beep, beep, getting it done. Should Lipscomb be that big a favorite over anybody? I mean, Lipscomb, I don't know if it's a destination spot for elite basketball talent, but shout out to North Florida.
It sounded like you had a little bit of a speech impediment trying to say Lipscomb.
Yeah, Lipscomb. Like, you know,
it doesn't roll off the tongue very naturally.
One of the PAs when at my previous job at NBC was from Lipscomb. He was always bragging about him. But I think they're good in hockey. I didn't think it was basketball.
Okay. The Cougars were a 5-point favorite against Santa Clara. They can't get it done, falling 81-74. Santa Clara, plus 175 tickets coming home. Wichita State as well, plus 175. They were getting 4.5 points at Temple. Get the job done, 79-65. UNC Asheville wins at Radford, 63-54. Getting plus 165 tickets home. And how about this one? Unranked Middle Tennessee State, plus 160. They knock off number 25, Florida Atlantic, 74-70. First win for the Blue Raiders over a ranked opponent since 2016, Sean.
Ooh. Better get a raise now, whoever the coach is.
Get her done. Colorado, plus 155. They're a 4-point dog winning at Arizona State. North Alabama beats Bellarmine 70-57 at plus 155. And I know you don't like to see this one in the NHL, Sean.
This one hurt. Like, I don't know what's going on in the first period, but the last couple nights, you know, my hockey teams have, like, been sleepwalking through the first period. But I'm not going to harp on the bad. I'm going to harp on the good. Look at Coach Prime's impact at the University of Colorado, even making the basketball team better.
Look at you go. Look at you go. Okay, let's get to the videos, see what we have here. Oh, the court storm. Get out there. Yes. Okay, so last night, in case you missed it, Maryland, when we were talking to you on the show yesterday, was a 2-point underdog taking on Purdue. They ended up closing a 1.5-point favorite, knocks off number 3 Purdue, and boy, were they quick to the court last night. A fun, it's like every time you knock off one of those big teams, you
I
have
mean,
to
that's
do it.
Embarrassing. I mean, come on, Purdue.
That's embarrassing?
Really? It's not like Purdue's a defending champ. It's not like they've been the number one all year. This is their first loss. Like, come on. This is a little too much. But somewhere my old producer, Aaron Oster, smiling right now. So I'm okay with it. He's a Maryland grad.
I like this as a Maryland team that's trying to build a new culture. They're doing things. Come on. Why are you sipping on the haterade every day?
I'm just saying.
First you don't like the suit. Now you don't like the court storm.
Storming,
I like this.
You got to save the court storming for, like, big events, like huge occasions. Like, if you next year when you say we knocked off the number one team last year, they're gonna be like, "Which one of the 12?"
That's all right. I do agree with that argument. Okay, what else we got here in Winsome? Speaking of knocking out, Conor McGregor knows something about that. Arriving in style at the UFC Apex here in Las Vegas. He's back, baby. Going to be a coach in Ultimate Fighter. I talked to Dana White when we were down in Phoenix over Super Bowl. And he said, everyone, all eyes are going to be on Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler. It's going to be a fun one. When they go, they're going
to
go.
I mean, shout out to the tailor. I like the suit. Did he get more bow-legged since the last time we've seen him? I mean,
you don't think that suit looks a little tight?
Well, he's the skinny pair. I would say, I can't pull those off. But I mean, it works for him. Glad he's back. UFC misses him.
Yeah. Trash talking. You know that that's what's happening. All right. Did you see? I was very excited that Travis Kelce is going to be a host of Saturday Night Live coming up March 4th. That is going to be awesome. He's such a character. I feel like that'll be tremendous.
He's got to open the show. Isn't that what he did? People were hating on him, right?
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. He's got to open the show with that. Like, that's his new thing. Sort of like Jeezy with the ad-libs when he was at his height, like the rapper. Like, that's Kelce's ad-lib.
You know there's going to be a WWE skit in there somewhere.
Absolutely. Live your life, man. I'm happy for Travis.
Awesome.
He seems like he has a lot of fun.
He absolutely
does. He's like
does.
Rob Gronkowski, too.
He loves 0. Him a microphone. I think that's going to be a blast. Okay, last one here. Something about Nathan MacKinnon. I don't know what this is, but Nathan MacKinnon, I will trade you my mom's number for your stick. You go, boy. He's taken. But
he's actually really good at hockey, too. So
that is an epic sign.
He's one of the
well
few,
done.
He's one of the great job by the young man. I hope mom signed off on it first. And then I hope dad isn't in the picture, because I don't know if Lil Sean is giving out my wife's number for a stick. I don't
not
know
good.
If I. Oh, yeah. Right. That's not probably a good thing. But I will say this. I'm a big Nathan MacKinnon fan. He's probably one of the few players in the NHL that I think would start for the Lightning. So,
oh my gosh. It always comes. You're
right.
So annoying. Win Some, Lose Some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook, where if your first wager loses, receive a free bet equal to your stake up to $500. Learn more at betrivers.com. Just to continue our conversation a little bit about the Jonathan Gannon hire. It's interesting because he was asked at the press conference this week about if this is a rebuild or a playoff team. And I mean, a group that I would say largely devoid of talent on defense, has 31 free agents. I would say it's a rebuild, but Gannon had a pretty eloquent answer. Take a listen.
I'm never going to put a ceiling or a floor on any roster, any player that is under my watch. So I know that there is work to be done, but I like the core pieces here. And we're going to, with Rumani and I and Michael, we're going to turn over every stone that we can to help improve the roster. And a funny little story, we were in the interview on Monday and Monty asked me a question, and I asked him the question right back. Well, what do you think about that, Monty? He says, well, I want to hear what you say first. And I told him, and he disagreed a little bit. And I said, well, I understand your point, but here's my point. And I think that we're going to have a really good relationship as far as we're both. Here's where we did not disagree on, is we're going to do everything that we can to put the best people out there to win games. And there's different ways to do that, and we will explore all those options, but that's what we're going to do.
So like I said, he inherits a roster set for an overhaul of sorts. 31 players expected to become free agents. Cliff Kingsbury led Arizona to just one playoff appearance in 4 years. What he described there with Monty sounded just like a conversation to me.
So it's
since we didn't get any actual details about
right.
what the thing was that they disagreed with, I'm like, oh, it sounds like a conversation. You thought one thing, I thought another, and then we went back and forth. That's how that
so
works.
So I've got a lot of opinions on that. Was a lot. First of all, I like his confidence. I do. I think he comes off as confident. He comes off as if he has a plan, like he's thought about this opportunity. He can't wait to start this process. I still think he should have put a tie on. I think it looks a little too relaxed for his first press conference as a new head coach. You're not the defensive coordinator anymore, Gannon. You're the head coach. The making public the disagreement with the GM, that's an interesting one. I mean, is he trying to plant his flag with the GM and, like, I'm going to have my way? Or is he trying to, like, express that there is like a dialogue? This is a 50-50. I didn't understand
what I
making
that,
that public was about. I wasn't sure about that one.
I don't think that was like calling out in any way. I think that was just saying, okay, look, we're going to have a very open dialogue behind the scenes about what we want to do and how we want to build this team.
But isn't that normally how it's?
That's what I'm saying. It's a conversation.
Right.
So I don't know.
My thing was, why would you?
When he said, "So funny story," that's whenever somebody prefaces something with "funny story," you know it's immediately not going to be a funny story.
I got to do some research on who, from a personnel standpoint, how involved is Sirianni with Howie in Philly. Because obviously Gannon, it came up under Nick Sirianni, so he's going to want to implement a lot of the processes that exist in Philly. So I'm going to do some research and find out how that relationship works, because that was interesting to me that was brought up.
Okay. I think something that will be interesting to keep an eye on is this first season, both how the Arizona Cardinals finish games and how they finish the season. Because under Cliff Kingsbury, it felt like that was something that largely fell off, especially when it comes to the back half of the year. Since Kyler Murray's rookie season in 2019, the Cardinals were 10-24 in games November or later in the season. If you can't get off to hot starts and not close. And obviously this season in general, the entire year was a struggle. It doesn't help that Kyler's injured again. But I think those are going to be priorities just from a coaching standpoint of like, okay, can you get your team to close out games the right way? And in the games that matter late in the season, can you still be the team that you think you can be? We'll see. All right, we've got to step aside, but Follow the Money continues to roll on. We've got some NBA conversation coming up because Kevin Durant had a nice welcome in Arizona, set to be a Sun.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college hoops, the VSiN experts have you covered. You can become a VSiN Pro subscriber with the introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the daily recap of top plays made from VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the year, where our experts have bracket breakdowns, top plays, and daily props. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe and sign up again just for $9.99. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Kevin Durant was introduced by the Suns on Thursday, of course, joining a team that has championship aspirations with Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton, hence why their odds just skyrocketed down from 18-1 to the second shortest shot on the board. The 13-time All-Star informed the Nets he wanted to be traded to the Suns. Brooklyn obliged. Here's KD on why Phoenix was the spot.
They experienced a lot the last couple years. You see the growth in this team. When Monty took over, when James came here, I see the culture started to change, the way they played on the floor, the energy they played with started to change. And I always love playing here in Phoenix. The fans always show love to, you know, just good basketball in general. Yeah, they always cheer their fans on, but they show love to the opposing team as well. So I knew this would be a great place to play and a great place to continue to get better as a player. You got somebody like Devin, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton, guys that work, and I wanted to be a part of that. So I'm excited I'm here. I'm looking forward to trying to add as much as I can to the group already. Like I said, they've built, you know, themselves up and built the structure and the infrastructure up for themselves already, and I'm looking forward to adding to it.
It's interesting, Stormy, because every time I hear him talk and I hear the things that he's looking for, it takes me back to, well, why in the hell did you leave Golden State? Like, yeah. All of those things that he says he's excited about getting to Phoenix are the reasons why they existed already in Golden State. I just think that's going to go down as, you know, a really bad decision historically, because it failed in Brooklyn. And we'll see. I mean, Devin didn't play well last night, but he gets to a Suns team that's fifth right now in the Western playoff race, sitting at, I think, 32-28 is their record. So a talent like him, especially one that kind of fits on every team because of his versatility, I mean, of course, that's going to enhance and help Phoenix. We'll see if it's enough to win them a championship. He does have a 1B in Devin Booker, who's an elite basketball player. Chris Paul probably is on the back end of his career. DeAndre Ayton's a fish out of water, trying to figure out how to be a big man in this day and age where it's, you know, run and gun, shoot all the threes, you know, that you can throw towards the rim. So they have some pieces. We'll see. I don't think it's a guarantee that they're coming out of the West, but I just want KD to be happy. But it's always, I'm always looking at him when he talks. Why did you ever leave Golden State?
And hitch your wagon to Kyrie, who, you know, largely, it's no secret, it didn't work out. And a lot of the things that happened were because Kyrie and his off the field
decisions. He left Steph and Clay
off the court, yeah,
to hitch his wagon to Kyrie.
Yes.
Then to James Harden.
Yes.
Then to Ben Simmons.
Yes. 3.5 seasons in Brooklyn. No division or conference titles. One playoff series win. You go to Brooklyn to create this so that you're able to do things on your own.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the big reason. Because you go to Golden State and you're just like, oh, okay, well, they already were built this way. You're just like an added piece. Which, I mean, Kevin Durant obviously doesn't feel like an added piece. He's the best player in the world when he's healthy and out there on the court. But he wanted to do it on his own. And it didn't work out. So now that it's with Phoenix, is there more pressure to win a title now? Because you're going back to another team that has the pieces?
I think for the rest of his career, he's on a quest to win a championship without Steph and Klay. Because they've won a championship without Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got there and after he left. So I think there is pressure. I mean, you look at Chris Paul, never has won a championship. He has to feel like this is the best opportunity that he has. Two of the top 10 players in the National Basketball Association are on his team, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. So, you know, we'll see if they can get it done. I still think plus 425 is a little low for me because I mean, the West is pretty tough. I mean, Denver looks really good. You're going to have to play Kawhi and Paul George, who they lost to last night without Kevin Durant, of course, who isn't played for the Suns as of yet. We'll join the team after the All-Star break. But you still have Golden State sitting there and potentially a Lakers team if they find a way to get in the play-in. So I do think that they got better, but I don't know if I'm backing that wagon yet in Phoenix.
Yeah, still waiting to see exactly when Kevin Durant's going to be able to return. You mentioned, of course, it'll be after the All-Star break. He hasn't yet been cleared for three-on-three or five-on-five play yet. They're going to be out there in Salt Lake City, at least just watching for the All-Star festivities this weekend. The team returns to action February 24th, but I'm just not sold that he's going to be there in that first game. They hit the road after that at Milwaukee, at Charlotte, at Chicago, and at Dallas. So you would imagine at some point on that road trip, that's when we'll see Kevin Durant's debut. Have we gotten a little bit too out of hand with players creating their own, or trying to play GM, trying to build their own teams? Is this player-led movement too much?
Oh, I've been saying that for years now, and I think it's coming to an end. I do think this next collective bargaining agreement, the owners are going to stand firm about honoring some of these contracts. You know, it's got to stink for Brooklyn to have paid out all of that money and really gotten nothing in return, especially not, you know, from a banner standpoint that, you know, you can put up that people will see years from now. So, I also don't think it's worked. I mean, outside of maybe two of LeBron's teams where he kind of handpicked like some guys to play with him, like when has it worked?
Well, and even like in LA, it's been short-lived because they win the COVID title that everybody has a little asterisk next to and says that one doesn't really count, and things have fallen apart largely with the Lakers situation. Here's Adam Silver, though, and his view on players demanding trades.
It's not a new issue. I think it gets, there's more attention focused on it than ever before because of all the fishbowl effect of social media and the opportunity for every single comment to be magnified in incredible ways. So, I mean, again, go back to the earliest days of this league, guys have demanded trades. Having said that, of course you want players to honor their contracts. You want the extent that there's always going to be.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's been around forever. I just don't understand, like, what's the point of even signing these contracts?
I mean, I just think I think the owners are going to put their feet in the sand and really make some adjustments and addendums to the CBA. I think their hands are tied right now because the players do have a lot of power. And sometimes it's a good thing. And sometimes I think it's something that can be abused. And I do think the NBA players specifically have abused it, you know, not wanting to, you know, honor contracts, not wanting to be available, you know, not wanting wanting the big money, but then not wanting to play the full 82-game slate. Like, that's where, you know, it starts for me. It's like, you know, fans want to see you perform. Like, if I'm a fan of this particular team and I buy season tickets, it might be because of who is coming to play here from another team. And for that team to show up and you to be able to play and just don't choose not to, I do think the NBA has to make some adjustments.
Yeah, how many times do you see little Johnny with the poster out there saying, it's my first NBA game, can't wait to see LeBron.
Right, and I don't want to isolate LeBron because there's a bunch of them that do it, right?
He's the most famous man in the sport.
If you pick the top 20 guys, all of them do it probably except Giannis. Giannis is probably the only one that I don't think regularly does it.
When it comes to KD, you mentioned that he is on the path to try to get a championship without Stephen Clay. How many rings will it take for either him to be satisfied or for, like, the view on him to say he is a champion in his own right?
Well, I think what's happened with KD is people know he's talented, but not many people right now consider him or talk about him as the best player in the world, which is prior to going to Brooklyn, that was the conversation. He's the best player in the world. Now that conversation revolves around LeBron, Giannis, Jokic, like even Jason Tatum, you know, in some ways. So I think he has to reestablish himself as that elite, not just skill player, but that elite player in the clutch. That Boston playoff series, you know, we had never seen that version of KD. You know, afraid to dribble, afraid to shoot, can't make a shot, can't make a free throw. So I do think, you know, he has some he needs to reassert himself as the best player. And if he does that, then it increases Phoenix's chances. I'm not sure it happens.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just think maybe the wear and tear, the injuries have caught up with him. Maybe I don't think he's as quick as he used to be. You know, that first step, you know, create separation, you know, it's not as, you know, swift. And maybe it's because he hasn't been healthy. We'll see.
Yeah, and that's the struggle when you are an aging star, too, and you're on the prowl for championships, and the window gets shorter and shorter as you continue to go. Kevin Durant and the Suns, the favorite to win the West now. We'll see if they can actually get it done and get to an NBA title like they did a couple years back, and if KD is the missing piece to put them over the edge. Lots more news in the NBA ahead, including Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with a wrist sprain last night.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Sports fans, I know football season's come to an end, but there is still so much to bet on, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be, especially when it comes to hoops and hockey. Bet Rivers has you covered for every line, odd, and boost. They've got new promotions like the Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Saturday Hockey Same Game Parlay Bet and Get, weekly pro basketball bet and get, and more. Check out BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app. It's a whole new game. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King at the desk live from Circa Resort and Casino. Sean, lots of NBA news coming through yesterday, and the big headline actually that dropped us like relatively within 20 minutes of us getting off of the air yesterday was that the Boston Celtics have officially removed the interim tag from Joe Mazzulla, making him the 19th coach in franchise history. He, of course, took over for Ime Udoka after he was suspended indefinitely and has done nothing but help guide this Celtics team to the best record in the NBA at the All-Star break.
Yeah, it speaks to the character of their best players. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, that's a good group there, a group that is focused on being better basketball players and being a great team and trying to win a championship. They came close last year, ultimately lost in the finals to Golden State. Hats off to Joe Mazzulla, stepping in, being prepared for his opportunity, taking advantage of it. Much deserved removal of the interim coach, the permanent head coach.
That's how I feel, too. And I get that a lot of people might say, oh, well, this is a team that was in the NBA Finals last year. They're built to make a run again. Absolutely. But at the same time, like, this is a guy who has kept everything together, kept the guys motivated. So much credit was given to Ime Udoka last year for what he had done for this team. And with him not there, how would things be handled? And I think he's done an excellent job.
Yeah, they continue to play defense. They play with high energy, great effort. And that's directly from the coach. Yeah. So Ime built a great culture there. And Joe Mazzulla has taken what Ime built and made it even better.
Yeah, very seamlessly hit the ground. Mazzulla also named NBA All-Star head coach for this weekend. He's going to be coaching Team Giannis in Salt Lake City. But now there's some concerns about whether or not Giannis is going to be available. Last night had to leave their game against Chicago with a wrist sprain in the first quarter. Head coach Mike Budenholzer saying after the game the x-rays were clean, so that's good news, but they're just going to take the next couple of days to reevaluate it. So whether or not he plays now is in question. I'm sure he'll still make time to do the draft, though, to pick his team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always think it's a neat little deal to be able to coach the All-Star game because you get to come in contact with the best players in the league, some of who are going to be free agents. We just talked about great players demanding trades. So it can kind of be like a recruiting opportunity as well. So I have a futures ticket on Milwaukee, by the way, so I'm completely fine with Giannis sitting out the All-Star game.
Jrue Holiday was asked in the post-game presser if he had concerns about Giannis's injury, and he said, "We've seen him hurt a little bit worse than that, and he went and had 40, 40, 40, 50, and 50 in the finals." So he wasn't particularly worried about Giannis.
Giannis is
at this
machine.
Point.
Giannis is a throwback player. Yep. He would be good in every era.
You're probably feeling good about your future as far as the All-Star break stands because the Bucks go into it on a 12-game winning streak, and it's always nice to enter the break hot versus cold.
You're right. Absolutely, 100%. Now, I still have a huge obstacle in Boston. And I think if you draw Cleveland, that's going to be a tough out in the Eastern Conference playoffs as well. But I'm backing Giannis. As long as my guy Middleton can find a way to stay healthy this year and be available, then I'd like Milwaukee to come out of the East and ultimately win it all.
We are at odds, but what else is new, Sean?
I know you got your parlay, Bruins and Celtics.
We talked about it yesterday, but in the East, it's a two-horse race. I would be very surprised if somebody was able to supplant either the Bucks or the Celtics down the stretch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if your Celtics beat the Bucks in the East. I hitched my wagon to the Bucks, but the part of your parlay that has no shot is the Bruins. Because they're in the same side
you
of the NHL
help.
As the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm just saying, like, go and get you can hedge. Go and get you some Lightning to win a Stanley Cup.
You know what? It's a cold take. The Lightning are average. So I'm not even – that's not even shots fired. That's not even hot. It's just a cold take because it's so true.
Some people like teams that have been to the last three Stanley Cup finals and won two. Some people don't.
They're old and they're tired. Ain't going to get there.
We're fine.
We'll see if I'm eating crow, but I think the – well, you know, we'll ask EJ Radek a little bit later in the show what he thinks. I value his opinion a little bit more. Sorry, Puckstradamus. Sorry.
Circle EJ.
Also, I did want to just mention while we were on that Bucks-Bulls game from last night, after all the trash we talked about Brooke Lopez, he goes out there, 21 first-half points and a season-high 33 on the night, so – it is what it is. One quick thing, because we talked about it so much earlier this week with the MVP conversation and Nikola Jokic and whether or not there might be some voter fatigue going for a third straight MVP. Apparently not. ESPN put out the straw poll yesterday. Runaway leader, which I thought was refreshing to see, that you're not saying, okay, we're gonna value some of these other players just because you've won it. No, you're averaging a triple-double. You deserve it. He had 77, as you see there, 77 of the 100 first-place votes available, 913 total points. Giannis was next with 11 first-place votes, Embiid with 6, Jason Tatum with 5, and Luka with 1. But like I said, this dude is averaging a triple-double. Nuggets currently lead the Western Conference. They have the NBA's third-best record, and he's the reason why.
I mean, I'm looking at the points per game list, and he's not even in the top 20. So I know he's averaging a triple-double, but I mean,
it's like 26.5 points per game, I think.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I'm going to, nah, I don't see him. So it is what it is. I don't think, well, I hope he doesn't win it, because I thought Embiid should have won it last year. But I mean,
but you right can't now, do Denver's revisionist play, history
right now,
either.
Denver's playing good, too. I mean, if Denver runs the table and, you know, they keep the best record in the West, which is what they currently have, right? Yep, at 41-18, then he may win a third in a row.
20.6 per game, I think, is what he's at right now.
Yeah, he's not in the top 20. I just looked it up. So, interesting that it's such a landslide for first place votes for somebody not in the top 20 in
points. Well, and look how it moved the market, because yesterday when we were having this conversation, he was a minus 170 favorite. Now that number pushed to minus 250.
I'm convinced that the voters have the same issue I have, in that they just don't watch a lot of NBA basketball. So, oh, Denver's in first. Let's go with Jokic.
You're wild.
I'm for real. I want, of those 77 first place votes, I wonder how many of those actual 77 people have watched 10 plus games this year of Jokic.
I'm sure all of them.
It's not easy to watch Denver play.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's not easy to watch a lot of the teams in the West, it appears, this year. Speaking of which, okay, so my Clippers, because they're my Clippers now because of Kawhi, since he's playing multiple games in a week. Beautiful. Love to see it. So Shams Charania of The Athletic says that the Clippers have received permission to begin conversations with Russell Westbrook. My question to you is, why would you want to do that?
So this is kind of where some of these players need to, if you're going to try and be GM, then you have to really like put the GM hat on. You can't mix friendships and player acquisitions, because Russ does have a lot of friends. Paul George played with Russ in Oklahoma City. So like, they're friends. I think LeBron and Russ were friends. Like, so sometimes you take your friend's side of the story, but if you listen to the people inside the Lakers organization, their issues with Russ weren't just on the court. A lot of it had to do with, they said, bad attitude, you know, not being a team guy in the locker room. So those are the things that would worry me about an acquisition, you know, with a team like the Clippers. Because just from a purely basketball standpoint, Russ could be a great sixth man off the bench, instant offense guy. Somebody you bring off the bench with the twos, you need him to score. He still can do that. But if he's not going to be a good locker room guy,
yeah, exactly,
then I wouldn't add him.
That's my thought. If you have good chemistry, if you have health that's coming back on your side, and you're already, because the West is so weak, considered a top four, top five team and could contend in the conference, I don't think there's a need to add somebody that, while sure they could help, the likelihood of them hindering your locker room and your chemistry feels more likely. Like, that's why, when you're in an office setting and like normal people that are working day to day, you don't want inner office and interpersonal relationships, right? Because yeah, there's the rare instance where you get married and you're together forever and it's wonderful, but it's probably more often than not, if you guys don't have something good and there's a falling out, then it makes the work environment hostile for everybody, right? And nobody wants that.
Very
so
true.
That's how I view it.
Well, if the Clippers do add him, Stormy, he doesn't have to go far.
Live in the same house?
Yeah, they play in the same arena still. It's amazing. But we'll see. I bet a lot of it has to do with his relationship with Paul George and him asking Paul, can you go and see if there is a possibility of me coming help you guys beat the Lakers. I'm sure that's how the conversation went.
Okay, well, from the association back to college hoops after we returned from a quick timeout, Maryland yesterday was a 2-point underdog when we talked on this program. By the time tip-off happened against Purdue, they were a 1.5-point favorite. Cover no problem. Purdue goes down again. We will discuss that and why Matt Painter has such a problem getting it done.
Storm the court. We beat Purdue.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.